Now then, December, is it the type of thing that makes you shiver in your bones with fear at the Christmas party, surviving it? Are you someone who's working away at conferences? Have you ever considered what the word just means in your vocabulary? And what is the craziest thing that you have ever tasted at a tasting session? And I mean something that is not quiche or scanbran. If you're a new member, Google scanbran. Don't try it. It's a bit dangerous. But do you know what I mean? I don't like December. There are so many questions that open the door to what December could be.
They really are. She wouldn't let me wear my Christmas hat, guys. So I'm really reveling in the fact that I wanted to get all festive and she won't let me.
Come on, stop that nonsense. Let's get some proper music. None of that jingle jingle stuff. We're sticking with the ukuleles. So, A-Up, how are ya? What's going on? I'm Claire, and she is...
Mrs. Christmas!
Yeah. I'm Bar Humbug, obviously, today. She's Anna. Yeah. This is Liminal Podcast, and this is Listener's Questions episode for December 2021. Well, is this where we insert generic cliche of where has the year gone? Can you believe it's the end? Can you even believe it's 2021? I remember when.
It's been a very tedious year. Glad to see the back of it, if I'm honest.
But I think there's something in the air. You know, we've been talking in previous weeks about this vibe around prepping for Christmas and something that maybe the kind of elements where we didn't have this last year. So did we miss it? Actually, did we find that when it wasn't there, we didn't really miss it at all? So a lot of us are kind of like navigating our way through, I think, in this kind of new normal of what should December be like? What should Christmas be like? A lot of people put the weight on during lockdown and then have worked really hard in the last few years to get it off. And they don't want the festivities to kind of put a dampener on that and maybe take them backwards. And so it's like a weird kind of seesaw balance that you're kind of juggling, and I suppose try not to hope. It's not about hope. Hope is not a strategy.
It's not.
To kind of get through. And we talked in the coffee shop a few weeks ago, and it really has been playing on my mind about, you know, writing down, I think, my commitment of what do I want to feel like, say, on the 1st of January? You know, the fact that I do want to still be at Target. So how might I kind of go through that and ride that a bit different? I think it's really stuck with me anyway, our conversation about that.
I think what I've learned over the last few Christmases is it's how I physically feel over the festive season. I want to feel at my best. And the Christmases I've had where I've overindulged so much and when I feel like sluggish and like all I want to do is lie in bed, they're not the best Christmases. And it is that feeling of actually I want to feel energized and excited and enjoy it and not get to January having to lose a stone that it took me 6 months to lose the previous year. So it's really resonated in my mind actually about how I'm going to make it the best possible January ever. And to make that happen, December's got to be pretty fantastic. Joy does not come from sugar and fat. Long term, that's what I keep telling myself. Yeah, it's a really nice thing to have something gorgeous, but actually my joy comes from seeing my family, seeing my friends, going out on beautiful walks, or, you know, wrapping beautiful Christmas presents. Whatever it is, it doesn't just have to be from the food in the booth.
Yeah, we've got a few questions actually about Christmas. And I think even like thinking back to like last week with Linda, you know, how if she had a game, she would just get straight back on it. And that was the key to kind of finding this, like the wave of like kind of maintaining. Because sometimes it might be for many of us in December, it's a lay-by, as she called it. We don't necessarily want to lose, but we want to come out at the same at least and protect our weight loss and where we're at. And I've been thinking about that kind of like that, how she just kind of get back on it, because I've got quite a few parties that I've kind of had like now in the next few days, and then there's a bit of a break, and then there's Christmas. So can I use a bit of my break to kind of yeah. get back on it. Do you know what I mean?
So what I've been doing with my members in December is really strategizing. Let's look at where we need flexibility. Let's look where you've got things that you want to enjoy, but then let's look at everything else around it and what you can do to safeguard your weight loss journey. This isn't saying you've got to come in Christmas week with 3 pounds off. You've got to food optimize 100% every single meal of every day. This is about a realistic plan of control. Because the thing that I have learned over my 22 Christmases now is that the most important thing is that you feel good and that you've made the choice to do this, not like it's a runaway car. Because there are many times I feel like I have lost total control, and then the aftermath of that is what I really struggle with. So I always look at December. There are folk that are totally focused and will lose right up until Christmas Eve. But there are people, and I would say the majority are the ones that are just trying to navigate the minefield of mince pies and Stollen. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm all about just having a good time, but having a good time that doesn't then leave you with like a horrible taste in your mouth after.
Oh, you need a holiday to get over the holiday.
Yeah, totally.
That is the number one thing that I learned early on. But anyway, we'll park Christmas. Let's come back to generic real life. Episode reactions, right, to the last like month's worth of content. Loads of different things. Let's just pick out a couple of episodes that seem to have jumped out at people. Taking your health seriously. Simon says, just starting my journey. This is an inspirational listen to Ken. There's not many men in my group, so great to hear these guys are smashing it. Joanna also had some takeaways from Ken's story. She said, listening to Ken as I was walking in the Snowdonia Mountains. Just imagine that. That's what I find crazy, where you guys listen to our podcast. That's brilliant. And she says what she picked up was that we never know what is going to happen to us. So live for each day and make it count. Brilliant. We're glad that that really made a difference.
Ken's,
and then a couple of, go on, sorry.
Ken's episode, I have to say, in my own members, sparked something that I have not seen in years. And it was like, that thing he said, don't wait till you're dead in the back of an ambulance. That's what they just kept in, coming in and saying. Ken's episode has transformed, I would say, three of my members' weight loss journeys, which is so amazing. So, yeah, I love that episode.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me about what Linda was saying last week. Linda is Slimming World's Diamond Member of the Year. She's been at Target for 12 years. I think what she kind of said was about like this idea of what can you take control of when things are kind of going all around you, what can you take control of? And that reflected, I think, in some of the comments that we had for your best week ever as well. Like Liz here, I am having my best week ever, not necessarily for the weight loss, but for the mental attitude. I've lost 6 stone, reached Target 4 years ago, but this year has been a real struggle. I've not been at Target since last November, either just in range or way over and really struggling. I spoke to Sue, my wonderful consultant. She suggested an SAS log. So I took 7 copies home and I've been completely honest with myself. And it's been eye-opening. I start with a new sheet every day. It's a chance to improve. Can't wait for my weigh-in this week. I may even make it back into my range. Thanks to the podcast. Keeps me going until my next group. So SAS log, slimmers against sabotage.
Yeah. You made me think then. I was like, oh my God, no pressure. Oh my God, it right. Zena said something very, is it Zena? Dana?
Yeah.
She said something very similar about my best week starts with me being in a strong mental frame. For me, this means prioritizing doing at least some of the things I enjoy every day, like walking, listening to your podcast. It also means going to bed early and doing a sleep meditation. Unfortunately, these are the first things to go out of the window when life gets hectic, which is almost all the way, isn't it? That it's the first thing that falls off. So I think it's so interesting when people talk about my best week being a mental thing, because I always think weight loss is 90% in the head.
Or I think a lot of people, probably if they're honest, think their best week ever is all dependent on what number they get on the scales. But
yeah,
what we're hearing from some of your reaction to that, I think, is actually it comes back to some of these behavior changes, some of these habits. My best week is when I've done 4 sessions at the gym, or I've managed to get up to the next level on my couch to 5K. Yeah, you know, or I've managed to meditate 7 days in a row. I think that is what is really healthy, isn't it, to focus on what the habits are. See, Louise also talked about just responding to Ken's episode, but a bit of a light bulb moment for her too. So she says, after being stuck down a massive hole from all the lockdowns, I've been listening to the podcast over and over, hoping one day that I'll climb out of it and carry on. The episode to do this was a recent one with Ken. Why wait for you to be in the back of an ambulance before you do anything about it? As we've just said, she said, this was the massive wake-up call I needed and has worked ever since for me. Early days right now for me, but I'm ready to take this on. Body magic for my mental health and food optimizing for my weight loss. Match made in heaven. I've always thought Slimming World was just another diet, but it is so much more. And your podcast has really made this message stand out. And Lauren, interestingly, Lauren and Louise are kind of in sync. Lauren says, thank you for the podcast. I've recently discovered you. I actually listen during my commute to work. It's like my friends are there giving me support. I recently rejoined online, which I haven't done before. And so listening to the podcast makes me feel connected and like I'm almost at a group. You have totally, and I mean in capital letters, totally, with an exclamation mark, changed my mindset. And I finally get it. I get that this is a lifestyle. Even though I've said it before, I actually understand it now. And I get that this is a journey and it's not about being perfect every day. It's about taking it one meal at a time.
Love that. I love what Caroline says. This really got me.
I laughed out loud when I read this email. I wrote the word just in capital letters on my diary.
Yeah. It says, I listened to episode 157, Countdown to Christmas is on episode the other day, and it gave me food for thought, no pun intended. Even as a target member of 3 years, this is the season where I most need to dig deep to stay in control. Those long time embedded habits are certainly still there. I know how easy I can and have snowballed out of control. Those strategies are a must. I have several strategies for dealing with the festive season and other occasions where events are focused around food, most of which have been covered in the podcast. For me, my most empowering strategy is around words. I have removed the word just from my vocabulary and around food and drink. I'm not sure when I noticed it, long before I had a weight loss mindset, but I remember wondering why we say, for example, I'll just have a fizzy water or I'll just have a salad. To me, it's like we're apologizing for declining alcohol, cake or whatever. I decided to take the power back. I don't need to apologize, justify, or explain what I choose to eat and drink. It's my choice. So just is banished. And now I say with confidence, I'll have a soda water with a slice of lime, please. Or no chips for me, thanks. No just, no apology, no justification. It's a small but powerful win. It gives me back ownership of my choices. P.S. Anna, when I have a baked potato with cheese and beans for my lunch, I'm forever reminded of your daughter saying, it just makes my tummy happy at lunchtimes. She's spot on. I love that. You're so bang on, isn't she? We apologise.
Do you know, and that I think is where, as you go through the journey, you start to kind of clock. Initially, I think the journey is about getting to grips with the plan, reading your book, maybe finding those three or four go-to recipes that you don't have to think too much about, knowing which healthy extra A's and B's, knowing how you can kind of find out what the sins of things are. There's a lot to kind of unpack when you're starting. But as you kind of go through the journey, these are the things that you just kind of like spot and like checking yourself and your mindset and your language. And you know, when people pay you compliments, you kind of say, oh, this old thing, I just threw this on. Yeah, it's been in my wardrobe for 6 years. I've not been able to wear it because I've been so big. Actually, take the compliment. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I do look hot, baby. You know, it's I think these are the things that you kind of, yeah, you just really unlock. So like Keith as well. Okay, so Keith says, I have just finished listening to episode 118 with Jason. It's titled One for the Men. And I thought I'd put my hand up. I've been overweight for most of my life. I'm 69 and the doctors have been trying to get me to lose weight for about 50 years on and off. They never worked because it was always a single photocopied sheet of allowed foods. So my family would be having roast dinner and I was supposed to nibble a lettuce leaf. That was never going to work, at least partly because I didn't believe it would. I'd got used to what I saw in the mirror, and I could do my job without too much trouble, so there wasn't any pressure to change. At 6'1", I could carry some extra weight without looking too bad. After I was made redundant, I was suffering with clinical depression. My weight crept up and up and up until I got around 19.5 stone. One day I looked in the mirror and, in his words, saw an old fat git, an image that was no longer acceptable to him. So him and his partner wanted to lose weight, and they tried some kind of plans on their own, a bit of the old salad, but it stalled. They were looking for menu inspiration, and they bought some Slimmerworld magazines. They liked what they saw, so they then ended up looking up for a local group. They enrolled in December 2017, and boom, 9 months later, he'd lost 5 stone. Another half has gone off since and has been at Target for 3 years. Well, my wife, Ruth, he says, lost 4.5 stone and has just passed her third anniversary last Friday. So before the first meeting, he says, I was decidedly apprehensive about being the only bloke in a large group of women, as I've worked in a female-dominated place previously, and they can be quite hard and snide as any group of men. Or they can be as hard and snide as any group of men. However, I needn't have worried. I've always been welcomed and we have some great laughs. The conversation can get a bit raunchy at times, and the cry of, put your fingers in your ears, Keith, will ring out amid gales of laughter. I wouldn't swap that bunch of nutters for the world. Wow. Happy Target to Keith and also Ruth. You can have a blow tickler right there. Oh, do you know, I mean, this, it's so incredible, isn't it? Just hearing what people have achieved and the breakthroughs that they're continuous to get, and even better, like with someone like Keith, that he continues to get and his wife is still getting 3 years later.
It's remarkable, and I just love how honest he is, because I think when you can be honest and have a laugh, it just takes the pressure off a little bit as well. So congratulations, guys. That's so inspiring.
Okay, so I will allow now a small amount of Christmas music, a slight little jingle or something.
I will allow.
Oh, if you really want to. Is it nearby?
Two secs.
Well, whilst Anna is getting a hat, we will enjoy this Christmas music. I'm really sorry.
I went with the small hat.
Jeez, mate. I mean, I thought you were going to bring some, like, monstrosity. It's no bigger than the span of my hand.
Well, I went with a headband one because I wasn't ready to reveal all my festivity. But I think it's quite charming.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, come on. Get some festive cheer, will you, Penelope?
I have removed all Christmasness in my office. There is no Christmas in the office. I saved that for downstairs. That's what I'm doing. Anyway.
It looks like Father Christmas has vomited outside my door.
Right, so Charlotte here talks about, says, thank you for the podcast. And listening to the podcast, she had the courage to join a group.
Yes.
Woo! Before she was doing Slimmerworld Online, she was on and off for a long time. Yep, I have been there. But since walking through the doors of group, she has achieved her 1 stone award and 1.5 stone award, and has been working towards a 2 stone award, 6 pounds to go. Never been so motivated, wouldn't have had the guts to do it had she not listened to the podcast. So thank you. Also, we help her get through a big pile of ironing every Tuesday morning. I would not fancy doing ironing. Just delete it, Charlotte. But actually, no, then you need it. You need it to listen to us. So I should encourage
people to keep listening.
And there was
something you do have to iron.
I just don't buy them.
Side note,
come back, stay on message.
Sorry.
Her festive question is, what are your top tips to not have a massive gain at Christmas? I struggle with all things chocolate and shortbread. I have asked family members not to buy me any, but I know for a fact my 2 children's Christmases presents, I assume, 2 children's Christmases-ness will be lurking. Chocolate and shortbread. Mm. How do you say no? I might actually link this, right, to another question we got a little bit further down from Alison. Talks about staff room treats. How do we avoid staff room treats? Hashtag super strength willpower. Well, I got to say, actually, you know, the biggest thing I learned was if you rely on willpower, you're not going to last very long.
You're snookered.
So it's about having a plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Snookered. That's a great word.
You are absolutely
so
snookered.
I'm going to assume that staff room treats are mostly chocolate and shortbread as well. So,
or crisps, I would say, too, is what a lot
nuts.
Of my teachers...
A salted nut.
I do like a salted nut. Are you asking me what my advice, or are we going with your advice?
I'm about to sneeze, so you need
okay.
to answer.
So, if anybody listened to Linda's episode, where she said, there's nothing I can't have, but there's things that I won't have. That really struck a chord with me, because actually, right, let's think about it this way. Do you want to come out of Christmas without gaining a stone in weight? If you do, there are going to be some choices you're going to have to make. So for me, it is not going near my triggers, because I get lulled into a false sense of security with my triggers where I think this time's going to be different. I think this bit of chocolate's going to make some miraculous entrance into my body and I'll be able to stop. I think that I'll be able to put down the tube of well-known crisps that once you've popped, you can't stop. So it's kind of working out what would be so bad if I choose to say, I'm not going to have this today. Would that be okay? Or am I okay with what will happen if I decide to have this? Because it is that choice power. If these triggers you, it's going to unravel. And it's understanding that. And the moment you go, well, actually, do you know what? The chocolate's lovely, but I'd have a far better time if I decided to have, I don't know, something I'm not triggered by, like a cake, a little bit of cake or whatever it is. Actually, I'd have a brilliant time if I chose to have a cup of tea or whatever it is. So I think it's flipping on its head, taking control and saying, what is it I'm going to get from having this? And is the gain of that worth the place it's going to take me to, which is potentially a stone on? And also really thinking about, you know, when these things face you, like staff room treats, I have a lot of teachers of members and they always say to me something along the lines of, it's when I'm tired, it's when I'm stressed, it's when everyone else is doing it that I'm more reluctant and more likely to have the staff room stuff. So it's knowing that, it's knowing actually if I go into the staff room when I'm tired, when I'm stressed, I need to have something of my own to eat so I'm not pulled in to the snacks that are really high sins. Equally, you know, for Charlotte, I get that what the children bring in. They bring fat, they bring sugar to the door. Like, is it about saying, well, I'm going to have something else. I'm going to do something different. So I just always think, is it worth it? Some things really are. You know what I mean? Like for me, a sticky toffee pudding with some cream is worth the sin spent that I'm going to work in. But actually, a bit of rubbish chocolate cake, I could, you know, not think about it in 10 minutes. Do you remember the episode we did years ago? I remember at a park bench and we did it about birthday celebrations and how we had always linked our birthdays with food and cake. And actually, can you rewrite the script? And can it be about something different? Can you have an equally brilliant time without the booze and the cake? Yeah, you can.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like, you know, for some people, if they removed the, I don't know, popular creamy alcoholic drink and the turkey on the table and the Christmas pudding, like they didn't have any of that, like on Christmas Day, would that not be Christmas? Like, is that really what it's about? Is it about the food? Like, I don't know. It's the questions that you need to ask yourself, you know.
Yeah.
See, Charlie, just trying to bring, because I think you're kind of almost answering Charlie's question, really. How do I manage Christmas without putting on a stone? It's happened 2 years running now. It's the hardest time of the year. I can't seem to stop those bad habits. They creep in so much in November through to January. I already feel myself struggling with the colder weather. I've lost 4.5 stone now, and I still have so many bad habits lingering in there still. I try and plan and be organized, but I just can't seem to stop myself. All help greatly appreciated.
Do you know what I spot is that we plan, but it's what we need, it's what we're planning. So I see people who are the most successful in their weight loss journeys are planning something as enjoyable. What we're very good at as people trying to lose weight is, I'm not going to have X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to have a salad instead. Or I'm not going to have X, Y, and Z, and my family's going to eat that, and I'll have my Slimming World curry while they're eating deep fried whatever. you then feel like you've lost out immediately, don't you? So it's about planning something that brings you the joy, brings you the excitement, but in a way that's not going to sabotage you or, you know, going to be in control, because you can have a great time and not eat these things. And it's understanding that. But what we've learned and what's ingrained, and it's, you know, what we do when we're sad or when we're happy is, this is my go-to. And it's saying, actually, I've got to break that habit. And in order to break that habit, I've got to practice this. Because it doesn't come just like that. I've got to practice saying, actually, I'm going to have this instead. Or practice when the chocolate comes out, diverting your attention. So I think it's knowing it's in your hands and you can do it. Shut Delilah up that's saying, you know what, history tells me I can't, and say this time's going to be different.
Take control. Yeah. So Amy makes a really good kind of question. I imagine some people will have already had their parties. Some people are about to have parties. It's kind of middle-ish of the month, aren't it? I'm later this week going to be in the same situation as Amy. So I've kind of already been thinking about what she's asking. So I'll kind of share what I think, and then I'd love to hear what you think. So Amy says, I have a question about how you cope with Christmas parties. I'm going for a meal with work. I'm checking the set menu here and everything is creamy mash and crisped with oil. I really want to go and enjoy myself, but I don't want another year where I have to work hard for months to get the weight off. I'm only 11 pounds to target, so I really want it. Any help appreciated. So I was thinking about Amy and this situation because I'm going out with some friends later this week. We have picked a restaurant where, bless them, they've looked at a place where there are vegan options and there's more than just burger and chips, which is brilliant. I'm like, thank you. And I've kind of, and on my situation at the moment is I would like to still be in my target range come the 1st of January. So all these little kind of parties and nights out, they could all add up if I don't really kind of really prep for it. So the other day I was actually in the place where I'm going to eat later this week. I was already there and I was fully, you know, I'd eaten before I went, so I had a clear mind. My stomach wasn't going to eat everything, eat the carrot cake,
the menu.
And while I was there, I had two drinks. I had a coconut flat white, coconut milk flat white, and I drank that really quickly. And then the next one, I had some herbal tea, and it came in a teapot, and it lasted at least three cups. And I was like, well, that lasts longer, which makes me think I'm kind of fuller, and it's zero sins. So drinks wise, that could be an option if it's a cold day. So I wrote down in a little pad and looked at the menu, and I don't think often I really look at menus and look at the descriptions. You know, like how she was saying about here, the creamy mash crisped with oil. And there are some words, you know, I get from my slimming world. Yeah, like, is it fried? Is it,
smothered.
Creamy sauces, smothered, buttered. And so I looked at the menu, the options that I kind of thought, what would I go for default? And then what would kind of I go for if I'm being on a good day? And what kind of sins would I kind of think that could potentially be? And if I had sides, you know, or what could I have as a dessert? And I kind of was able to really think about it from lots of different perspectives. And actually, they are a restaurant where I could say to them, I don't want that, but could I have that instead? You know, so taking control of it. So I kind of wonder with Amy, really, that yes, this is a set menu, but is there a way that you can maybe contact the restaurant and kind of have a chat with them before so that it's not uncomfortable, like when you're doing it in front of all your colleagues, just to kind of see what your options are? I mean, for one of my parties, fortunately, they're going to a place where I really don't have many options, either as a Slimming World person or as a vegan, I have to say. So I've decided, and I'm actually a bit busy, I'm going to come in at the end of the session. They're meeting at 1:30. I'm coming in at 3. So they'll have had the starter and the mains, and I'm just coming in for a bit of carrot cake at the end. And that's kind of like limiting the number of sins. But also I'm still getting to be a part of the celebrations.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I've kind of been looking at what kind of drink. So if I go for something like as a drink, that's sin-free. You know, the coffee, the coconut flat white was going to be about four sins, I felt, if I worked it out, whereas my herbal tea was zero sins. I looked on the menu, I can have the carrot cake, but then maybe for my main, I might want to go for more of like the warm salad option rather than
going by the hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of made me just put a bit of a pause in and plan ahead. And I think it's brilliant that Amy's kind of thinking about this in advance. But I think you have to sometimes step out the mindset, like if I have this one meal this week, all the weight will go back on. I won't make it to target because you're so close. You're going to ruin it for yourself. It's amazing how easy we are to like kind of just write off a whole week's worth of good habits based on one meal and one night out.
I think, you know, you say some very succinct things there. And I think it's really important, Amy, or anyone that's listening, put this into a context. Okay, this is going to be one meal, and it's about knowing this might be the meal you need to adopt some flexibility. But look what's around it. Actually, could that breakfast and lunch that day be super brilliant so that you were full on all your free foods, you were protein rich, so you weren't starving when you get there and you kind of get the bread basket and all of that. But also, if this is something you want to do, then enjoy it. Factor it in, make it work, you know, have the creamy sauce if you want to factor that in. But if you don't, it is about deciding that you've got to say something and you've got to ask, like you say, for the tweaks. But if you can't change it and it is something, because I've been to meals like that, you know what, you haven't got a hope in hell of changing something. It's almost about what you do after it that is going to be the key. It's almost saying, okay, this has happened. This is cool. Let's enjoy it. But I'm going to make sure that everything else is on point. Because like you said, the mistake that a lot of us make is go, well, that was really bad. So you know what? I'm going to have gained anyway. So let's just go and carry it on. Because actually, if it's just one meal, you could easily still lose weight. You really, really could. So I would say don't sweat it, but think about what you truly want to do. If it is to enjoy it with no guilt. If it is that you need to make some tweaks, then get on board with trying to make some tweaks and just don't overthink it. Because I think what sometimes happens is we get into the minute detail. You know, like you were saying, actually, in a past episode about when I do a food diary, I get into too much, like it's the pressure. So don't make this bigger than it is.
So I don't know whether this is like a common theme or not. Often I feel like I have to, I would want to go and have this thing and I would have to eat it all, like the whole plate.
Yeah.
And I know for some people, they have a bit of it and then they when they're full, they don't eat the rest of it. I suppose typically I'm the type of person who, if it's on my plate, I need to eat it. I don't want to leave anything. I hate leftovers. I hate waste. You know, I kind of feel like either I'm going to eat it all or I'm not going to have any at all. And I suppose that there is kind of some middle point, like, yes, maybe you can just have the set menu, but you don't have to eat every single part of it. Yeah. If it's just a few spoonfuls and that does the job, so be it. So you have a taste of it, but you don't go crazy.
You said something. I don't know. You said something.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't like waste. And someone said to me once, because I said that, I don't like waste. She said, but you're not a dustbin. It's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, why do you have to shovel it in your mouth? Like, it's okay to stop. Watch people. So I watch Daisy eat. Daisy stops when she's full. I'll be like, Daisy, but you've got X, Y, and Z on your plate. I'm full, mummy. I don't want any more. I don't need any more. And I watch my niece, who's naturally very slim. She'll just go, but I don't need it. And it is that mindset that we've got ourselves into as people who have struggled with our weight. It's on my plate. I'm taking it. I'm licking the plate. I'm licking the knife, the fork, and I'm getting every last bit. Actually listening to your body. Do you remember when we did the mindful eating episode a long time ago? Actually, put your knife and fork down, enjoying the surroundings, thinking about all those things. I think that's a very important thing as well, because you watch the people you go on the evening out with. I reckon half of those will leave food on their plate. But, you know, they're probably the ones that don't struggle with their weight. Yeah. It's quite liberating when you do. I went out for pizza and I'd organised the three slices I was going to have. And by slice two, I was full. I know. I didn't eat the third slice. I thought there may be something wrong with me, but I just listened to the fact that my tummy was full. Don't worry, I took the slice of pizza home. It didn't waste. I then ate it and packed it in. But it's when you're not panicking, you can enjoy.
Yeah, I still feel quite uncomfortable about leaving food on my plate, if I'm honest. That I will always take a doggy bag. And I don't know, sometimes I'm like, why? You know, I'll just give it to Matt. But I still feel uncomfortable about leaving food on my plate. So I have to make sure that either I do smaller portions or, you know, don't order it. I'm not, especially going out. I feel if I paid for it, I should eat it all. And a guilt voice comes into my head, as I'm sure many people do. The people who can't eat, who don't have food, you know, they could have eaten that. You know, you're wasting food. And I think it's that is part of like the mindset.
That's the sabotage as well, though. Because it's going, don't leave it, don't leave it. Look, there's people who can't afford food. You should eat it, you should eat it, you should eat it. Well, actually, no, I'll get a doggy bag and I'll take it home, because then I can make a controlled choice if I want to have some more of it or I'm giving it to X, Y, and Z. So, yeah, break the habits. So,
Cara says, any Slimming World vegan ideas for Christmas dinner that are extra special but not sinful? I was kind of like...
I had one that sprung to mind.
Oh, yeah?
Two things. Okay. I made it the other day. Butternut squash with fresh rosemary and thyme. Take your healthy extra bread and make it into breadcrumbs, and one or two thins of like a vegan type sunflower spread, if you can get it. Toast the breadcrumbs, mix it through with that, and then put that on top of the butternut squash and roast it. It's like a party in your mouth. It's amazing. And then also, you know what I was thinking about? The silken tofu chocolate mousse we've made.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Now that pimped up, I don't know, with some berries, made in a nice glass, a few shavings of vegan chocolate. That is a super good pudding. You know, they're two things that's going into my non-vegan mind.
I mean, even your standard Marmite roast potatoes, I think, are just great. Oh, you know, I like the butternut squash, because quite often it's, you know, there's a lot of like kind of nut roasts and they're kind of ludicrously high in sins. It's quite terrifying.
Butternut squash is amazing because it goes crispy and thymy. You could add some all sorts of different herbs if you wanted it, but it's like Christmas in your mouth.
I was kind of like looking at puddings, actually. And a new thing that I'm kind of trialing is like sorbet.
Oh, I love a sorbet.
Because I realised on the app it says 1.5 sins per 25 grams. So I was like, oh, hello. Because for me, my go-to is always cake and ice cream. So how can I kind of chop that back? And even making my own. I mean, obviously, you've got to work out the sins. You know, chopping up mango, freezing it. And then when you blend it, obviously, it's going to be sins then. Blending it, we tried one that the other day that had a bit of maple syrup in and had some reduced fat coconut milk.
Oh, nice.
And then blending it all and then refreezing it, and it was really, really super smooth, very, very sweet. And you'd only really need one or two scoops anyway. But I was like, well, you know, this is again something that's a bit different, but feels quite special. You know, if you get like yourself a proper ice cream scoop and then some nice little glasses to serve it, you know, like kind of the Gatto glasses, the Knickerbocker Glory glasses.
No, well, love.
You know, a bit like your old like low-cal chocolate kind of squeezy sauce.
You can get the vegan squirty cream as well, couldn't you? You could make that into a little party.
Yes, I do enjoy that very much. It's in a popular supermarket. I get that gets me through when I use my baked oat recipes, you know, with yogurt, with egg replacer and porridge oats. And you can mix it in, you know, using like cinnamon and nutmeg and mixed spice and vanilla essence. I even tried almond essence the other day.
Nice.
And then you get different molds. So I switch it between like waffles versus donuts. So we did both of those this week, and it's brilliant. I mean, it's just kind of like about looking at it in a different way. I mean, I think for me, Christmas dinner makes me think of roast dinners, you know, like the roast veg, and even just pouring a bit of stock over your veg, which softens them as they, you know, roast. All those things are still vegan, you know what I mean? Your gravy.
What would you have as like gravy? Your protein on your Christmas dinner?
It's hard to say, like, without using brand names, really.
Oh, okay. Would you have like a kind of like roasty substitute thing, or would you go?
Yeah, like I use Five Sins on like kind of something which is like a fake steak.
Ooh.
And that's and I can kind of slice it. I mean, there chicken pieces, even like kind of making using your beans. If you're someone who doesn't like fake meats because you just don't like meat, like using your beans or your chickpeas to kind of make like kind of burger shapes, you know, like patties or something.
Yeah.
That with a bit of gravy on top with your roast potatoes.
Nice.
You know, there's lots of different ways around it, and it can be. I think like. Most of us, I think when we really, really cook stuff from the heart and we make it, you know, by hand, it tastes great, way better than anything that is frozen, heated up, with all the oil on will taste anyway. And also there's a sense of pride, isn't there, that you're proud that you're trying something new, you're stepping out into a new world, you're changing new habits, you're forming new traditions, you're breaking cycles. Yeah, it's just about thinking about it with new eyes. And in some ways, 2021 is a way that many of us can do that as we start to bring back in the noise and the people. How do we do that? I mean, Becky here says she's spending Christmas with her boyfriend's family. They're lovely. Her boyfriend and the family knows that she's doing slimming. But often it can feel that he kind of tells her off for eating bad or when she says she wants to eat another piece of cake. She said he means well, but what could I get him to say or do that will help me in a supportive way rather than just saying control yourself? I mean, I straight away thought about kind of making him be a part of the process. Like, don't keep the plan to yourself. Show him, talk him through your book, talk him through your food diary, your plan. Like, Matt asks me, is that a speed food? And I'll explain, no, that's a free food, not a speed food. And I've started kind of showing him pictures of what a third speed food looks like on a plate, as opposed to a massive pile of pasta, which he thinks, well, it's free
food. Tomato on the top, yeah.
Yeah, so I had to open the doors and kind of open the conversation, I think, with Matt, with my family about this is how this works, but then you can do this and then I can do that. Like, don't kind of just try and squirrel it away on your own.
No.
Talk openly about what your plan is for this week or this day. Where are your sins wanting to go, you know?
And also, I think it's really important that he understands what he's saying is not making you feel great, because he won't realise that.
No.
You know, he thinks he's just helping you. But if you say, do you know what, sweetheart, that doesn't aid me. I need you to help motivate and inspire me, not make me feel like I'm a 12-year-old being told off. I think once he knows, he can change it. But we're quite good as human beings of expecting people to know. And it's saying, no, sometimes you really have to direct people and say, don't say this. Actually, what would be more empowering is if you went, do you really want that? Do you want some fruit? Like, or whatever it is that you know you will work, but give him the chance to change it. Also, maybe frame up how you're feeling about going to his parents' house. And, you know, this is quite an interesting situation I'm in, and I really need your support to get through this.
Yeah. It's one day of the month. That's also, I think, what we have to remember, isn't it?
You said that when I asked to put my Christmas hat on, didn't you? You said it was just one day of the month and Christmas doesn't start on the 1st of December.
Well, do you know what? To finish this segment about Christmas questions, I will play some music and you can take your hat off. Now then, let's get back to business. General questions here. Charlene talks about needing help with staying focused despite the noise. I am one of a few in my family who are Slimming World members of various groups. My sister-in-law has always had big losses, but I see her guzzling the Prosecco at the weekend, eating pizza and fast food and the curries, the lot. She's open about what she eats, yet on weigh day, she always loses. Currently, I am struggling with my weight. Had my first gain 2 months ago, despite being on plan. I feel like I have been hang on, I feel like my life was severely restricted, yet here is my sister living it up, losing weight. I don't mean to be mean, and I don't want to tell her that I don't want to hear about it anymore, but I need a coping strategy so that when I go or get that Tuesday night text with her weight loss, because it's really hindering my progress. That's really tough, isn't it? Yeah, because it's, I think that comparison within families is difficult. On one hand, it's like the support because you're all doing it together, but then it can be really difficult when one person goes faster than the others, and she's only telling you a kind of a small part of what she's doing there, really, isn't she? And actually, what is she doing that's so right? And also, I wonder, Charlene, if she gets the target, when she gets the target, will she stay there? Whereas you're taking the long scenic route, exactly what Linda was talking about in her episode last week. You're in the lay-bys and you're learning along the way. So does that mean that, yes, it might take you longer to get there, but you're more likely to stay there?
Yeah.
That's initially what I wondered.
I think.
But it doesn't help you in the moment, no, unfortunately.
I think I see this quite a lot in group. And my best advice is to remember, you're only seeing a glimpse. Do you know, like social media, things look so beautiful, but actually the reality is, it's like my house looks really tidy right now. If I flip my camera, you could see the washing piles, right? She's only giving you the information, or you're only seeing part of it. You're not seeing every single meal, every single mouthful. So she must be doing things to get that weight loss. Also, I don't know her starting weight and that type of thing of what kind of calories she could have or how many sins she could have compared to you. So there may be that she can actually have more sins than you. But leave that aside. I think what's really key is that you realise that's not your journey. This is your journey. And don't listen to the sound of what she's doing. Concentrate on yourself and think about, if you are struggling with the weight losses you're getting, talking to your consultant about, is there help and support you need in that? Is there ideas? Is there tools you need? But also how to dull down her voice and only tune in when you need to. Because if she's not serving you a purpose that is bringing something to the table that's positive, then back away from it. And I know it's hard when it's your family, but it's really important in a journey that you actually become a little bit selfish, I think. And you say, hold on, this isn't working for me, so I've got to do something different. Because if you're going to succeed, you've got to make plans that allow you to move forward with it. She may get to the point, and I say this as someone who used to do 160 to 180 sins on a weigh-day night. I lost weight while I still had weight to lose, while my body could deal with those calories. Lost some of the weight, couldn't do it. So she may grind to a halt as well. So I don't know how good your relationship is with her, and if you could have a conversation and say, you know what, this is how it's making me feel, if that's feasible, or is it about just going through the process and kind of locking it out, would be my experience.
Be really clear on what your why is.
Yeah.
And what is the phrase that keeps coming up?
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
comparison
it really
is the thief of joy. So really revel in, what are you enjoying every week? Write that down. And then when that text message comes, you know, like maybe you get a post-it note every week before you weigh in and you write down three things that I've really enjoyed about this week. Then you go to weigh. Weighing is just data on the scales, as we say. You screenshot that post-it and it is your screen saver on your phone. Now, when that notification comes from your message, you'll see whatever that weight is, but you'll also see on your screen three things that I enjoyed this week. And if you do that before you step on the scales, whatever the number on scales, you still can't take away that you enjoyed these three things.
I think there is one thing that stands out on me, and it says, I felt like I'm severely restricted. Now, it may be that is your issue, that you're too restricted, the corset's too tight and there isn't enjoyment. So that's what's making it harder. So maybe it's about chilling out a bit with it, not being so restrictive, because we've both done it, Claire, haven't we? When we've wanted it so desperately, we've restricted, and then not got the weight losses we wanted. The moment that you take it and take it at a steady pace is the moment that kind of happens. I lost 2.5 pounds in the last week, and I really believe that's because I loved every mouthful I had. I planned in some beautiful things, but I took all the pressure off myself. I just said, do you know what, this week I'm going to food optimize to enjoy it. And I actually enjoyed it. Whereas the weeks I've gone hunting for that number, never enjoy it.
Mm, well done. That is a big loss. 2.5 pounds.
Oh, yeah. I can't get
a step closer to your like piano cocktail dress fantasy there, aren't you?
Maybe.
So I hope that that helps, Charlene. Just keep thinking about what your journey is. Andrea says, I've joined Slimming World. I have joined Slimming World and initially nothing clicked. I would pay for a couple of weeks and then I would leave and then I'd rejoin and then I'd leave. And I rejoined in the middle of September and I found your podcasts. I listen to you when I'm walking the dog or working from home. Working the dog. Okay, anyway, back on message.
Walking the work.
As well as the plan. Do you know what? You pair gave me the tools and motivation that I needed, and I've lost nearly 1.5 stone in 8 weeks. Wow. I rave about you at my weekly meeting groups and when they ask what motivates me. It's brilliant because I was starting to see very bad health problems with my 6 stone weight gain caused by medication. I was actually even considering surgery. We'd even figured out a monthly plan to pay for it. Wow. Thank God I found you, pair. I walk around the lake with my ear pods laughing to myself. I believe it's that investing in myself and using the tools that I have to help me. So thank you. You may have both given me my life back, 50 and not dead, as that was how I felt physically and emotionally. So my question is, I would love to know what motivates you to stay positive and what are your biggest tools that you rely upon? This is interesting, isn't it, about like the tools? Because again, I think for me, Linda's episode is kind of like being like ping, 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 ping. Because, you know, we know and listeners know it's where I'm at the moment. I'm at target. I'm riding that new kind of like groove. I'm on the new train. The thing that I was thinking about these tools, like if I want the food diary, I've got it. If I want the SAS log, I've got it. Even I went and dug out this week my for and against list that I wrote a few months ago and I stuck it in my Slim for Life booklet. I have my book whenever I need to refer back to. It is my biggest, greatest tool as well as the stuff that's online. I have my app nearby to food search. There's so many different things. And I suppose over my nearly 4 years, I've dipped in and I've used all of them. But knowing that I can go back to them again whenever I need it. And I suppose that's where, when you kind of admit out loud to your consultant, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm struggling with, then the consultant will say, maybe we need to go back to using this tool. And that's what it's about.
Yeah. And also some more like practical, as in the situation tools. For me, I have a birthday 10 days after Christmas and I always want to stay motivated because I've always got something nice to my birthday and I've got an outfit normally, so that I've got a different focus. But also what keeps me motivated during the festive season is the time when I'm with people that I haven't seen normally for long periods of time. It's the time when there are the most photographs on and I want to feel and look my best. So the way I cope is this really going to serve me in the next hour? Is this really going to serve me in the next 2 hours? Like, is this, you know, 22 sin mince pie really going to make my day? And if it is, enjoy it. But if I'm just doing it because it's there and it's a process and I'm at the Christmas markets with my friends and family and, you know, I've taken 42 sins on a bratwurst just because I have, it's knowing, am I just doing these things because they're habitual and it's Christmas, or do I truly want to do them? If I truly want to do them, then I factor it in. If I'm just doing it because it's part of what happens, then I don't do it. You know, little swaps like, can I get a herbal tea or can I get a tea instead of, you know, a hot chocolate? Can I actually make sure I eat a really decent free food meal before I go out and see my girlfriend? What can I do to aid myself staying in control? Because the best Christmases I've ever had is when I've enjoyed the food I want to, but it's done in control. And I am not having the cheese sweats and having to lie on the bed because I have eaten so much, okay? So it's about finding that balance between not feeling like you're saying no because you're on a weight loss journey, but also not just eating yourself into oblivion. And how many of us have done that at Christmas? I mean, I've got Christmases I cannot remember I was that drunk. I've got Christmases where I literally have worn nothing but stretchy pants because nothing else will do up because I have eaten that much. You know, I used to have single or double cream with a well-known crunchy cereal for breakfast on Christmas Day just because it was Christmas Day. Like, why was I doing that? It's because I told myself there were no rules at Christmas and I deserved it. Did I? No? How many indigestion tablets did I have to normally take? You know, and I think the point when you get to eating, have you had it, Claire, on Christmas Eve? Where, and it's probably slightly different now, you're vegan, but big tins of chocolate. Just eat them every day. Yeah. I've eaten tins of those things. So I would always say, is this serving me a purpose that's going to bring me joy? And it's something you want to do, do it. If it's not, that's your warning sign. Cut it out.
Yeah. And I suppose also the other thing is like planning in the things that you know you're going to look forward to, like, you know, plan in, especially like in a busy time, like say December when there's lots of parties and you're around a lot of other people. What could you do that is nice that's on your own? Like get your nails done, get your hair done, maybe take a book that you're really enjoying or love reading at this time of year and, I don't know, go to a coffee shop and read it on your own with headphones on so you just have a bit of quiet time, because I think it's, we need to factor in the quiet time of things that we really enjoy amongst all the chaos, because then we can kind of really look forward to those moments and enjoy and celebrate, I suppose, ourselves. And it doesn't have to be around food, you know. It might even be, for some people, just get a babysitter, go upstairs and watch telly in my pyjamas.
My gosh. You know what I mean? My child, I swear, has got like CCTV on me. She knows when I'm going to the bathroom and she walks in. But something also I just thought about, also forward think. So Christmas for a lot of us is a very emotional time. Like for me, since my dad passed away, I really struggle with like Christmas music. Like the Christmas songs really trigger something in me that's very emotional. And I know that that potentially could lead me to emotionally eat. So spotting, are there family members that you're missing? Are there people that you see that stress you out around Christmas? And knowing how potentially the food and alcohol could play into that. So having a strategy for if Aunt Mary stresses you out and you nearly hit the bottle of Prosecco, actually, I know she's going to do that, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I remember the first year that I wasn't drinking at Christmas time, and how stressed I was, almost like at the anticipation of it and overly rehearsing of what I was going to say to people and, oh no, I'm driving. And I like built it up into this big thing, and it was, in the end, it was completely fine. It wasn't an issue. And then the second year, I kind of like worried, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to do it again? Whereas now I suppose I'm starting to feel like it's a bit more ingrained, but I do really remember how stressed about the thought of what could be and what might be and how will I handle this and what if I just go to default. And it is really tricky. So the one of the last questions here, so Shona sends a message saying, hello from Edinburgh, I am loving Slim World. I'm on my week 4. However, I'm off to a conference in a hotel for 4 days soon, with the hotel breakfast, the buffet lunches, the gala dinner type affairs. The meal that we've had to pre-select, I have gone full food optimizing after I listened to your restaurant episode, but I'm terrified about the lunches of sandwiches, crisps and muffins. Do you have any advice or tips on how to navigate my way through this without going off plan or starving myself? I just want to recap here, because it's interesting, Shona, that Lisa sent us a message, and it was in response to hearing our best week ever. Because she actually said, my best week ever is this week, and I have been working away with work, staying in a hotel. What? And she had took her food scales and her measuring jug to make sure she was measuring her healthy extra A's and B's. The hotel even has a pool, so I've been doing my body magic as well. I am on fire. So I thought I would just slip that in there, Shona, as you know, parallel universes that actually you could go to this conference and have your best week ever.
Do you know what? A few tips I've learned along the way. Talk to the hotel, because there are things that you can nail, like breakfast, poached eggs on home or toast, or just like poached eggs, some grilled bacon, all that type of thing. With the lunch, if they've got sandwiches, they will have fillings. Can they make you a salad? Also, can you take things like packets of pasta that you add water into, couscous that you add water into? Do you know, if you've got a kettle in your hotel room and you pop two eggs into that kettle while it boils, you can make a hard-boiled egg. There are ways.
I would just like to say that that is not an official note from Swimming World or this podcast. I would not recommend trying that at home. What the heck? Don't sue us if you try that burn the hotel down.
Never try it. Okay. Forget I ever said it. What I'm saying is, where there's a will, there's a world. So there's a way. When I was training to be a team developer at Swimming World, I was away at training for 6 days in a hotel. Now, yes, we had Slimming World head office, which was food optimized, but I would always go with my cereal bars, things like bananas, apples, tangerines, things that I had, like my herbal tea bag, so that I knew I had a safety net. Jarred peppers were my random go-to, pickles, so that I knew I could have snacks. Also, I don't know where you are and if you've got a car, but can you drive and go and get yourself some snacks when you're there, like fresh fruit? But my tip always has been to any member I ever meet is contact the hotel. Because imagine you had an allergy, right? You'd say, can I have some gluten-free pasta? What can you do for me to help me out on this as well? And also know that sometimes I find that once I start, that's the issue. So if there is muffins and crisps at lunch, you don't have to have them. But make sure you've had a brilliant breakfast so you're not starving.
Yeah, even knowing, like, is there a fridge in the room?
Totally.
You know, yeah.
I've been known to empty a minibar, put it on the bathroom shelf and fill it with some yogurts. Do you know what I mean? So,
you've got to watch out with some hotels, though, because when you take it out of the minibar, not alarm. It charges you.
Oh, does
it? When you lift it out the minibar, it thinks that you've drank it, so it could charge you. So be careful on that one.
So don't boil your eggs in the hotel kettle or move anything out of the minibar.
If there's a minibar that you don't want, ask the reception to remove it for you, just in case they may charge you. Yes.
So glad.
Jeez, I'm like disclaimer.
By the way, these are our personal opinions and they are not recommended.
Yes. Well, anyway, Shona, let us know how you get on. And just to finish here, quick fire. I'm rolling the music up because I'm wrapping this
one. Like
Carmela. Yes. Carmela says, we're having a taster session this week in group. What is your favourite thing to take to a taster session? I have written here, please, Lord, no, not another quiche.
From a Slimming World consultant, never bring me another quiche. Bring me a curry and boiled rice. Bring me hummus and crudité. Bring me a low-sin mince pie. Bring me a pasta bake. Bring me some oriental noodles. Bring me some, like, pigs in blankets that have been food optimised. Bring your air fryer in and make me some chips. No quiche.
But no quiche. I would say, I don't know, chickpea muffins, nice. Baked oat donuts. I mean, there's always an interesting salad, like a colourful salad. And then, like, I don't know, a nice, a cottage pie, nice, warm, mushy cottage pie. We're running out of music.
One of the best ones ever did was bring my air fryer into group and we made chips for 6 seconds.
Also, gotta say, certain venues would not allow you to bring the electrical good because of PAT testing.
Yes.
So, disclaimer, Claire. Also says, rule that one out. Take it preheated. No microwaves may be available. Do not take your microwave. Do not take your air fryer. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you. See you next Monday.